in your brain, you're in the Nerd's Domain. Come on in, it's about to begin.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Nerd's Domain Podcast. I'm Matt.
I'm Justin.
I'm Shirley.
I'm John.
And this week we're going back to our Criterion Collection series, and we're talking about Safety Last. Safety Last, when a store clerk organizes a publicity stunt in which a friend climbs the outside of a tall building, circumstances force him to make the perilous climb himself.
See, he was a clerk.
Yeah, clerk and cashier are two different things.
Well, maybe.
Starring Harold Lloyd, Mildred Davis, Bill Strother, Noel Young, and Westcott Clark. Which is the entirety of the cast listing in IMDb.
Love that name. That's
about all the actual people who had FaceTime in the movie, isn't
it? Yeah, and they played the boy, the girl, the pal, the law, and the floorwalker.
God, I love silent movies.
Yeah. So, Jesse, why don't you walk us through the idea
to go to the big city to earn money for his gal to become his wife.
Okay.
When he gets there, things don't quite go the way he plans. He becomes a clerk and tells his gal of all the success he's having in the big city, how everything's going well, and he's just a fabric store clerk.
He spends his rent money to send her a necklace. Sends her the pendant.
Just the pendant.
Because he can't afford the chain. He needs a chain to find a chain that's pretty enough, in quotes, but in actuality, he just couldn't afford it.
And he makes $15 a week, which is exactly $3 more than his weekly rent.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
But at the same time, it's livable without any history.
It's true. When you get a huge lunch for 50 cents.
I was going to say, a loaf of bread's like a nickel. So
yeah.
Could be worse.
That's true. So this is not our first silent film, right?
No.
This is our second? Chaplin. Chaplin was our first.
Yeah, I think we only done Chaplin in this one.
No.
Was it Beauty and the Beast? No, that was
French. No. Not silent.
See, it's hard to talk about.
We watch everything with subtitles. Yeah,
we've had to read every movie on this list. So.
In all fairness, Beauty and the Beast also had long pauses of no dialogue, too, so that made it feel a little bit like that. But I think it's our second one after the tramp. No.
Wait, hold on.
It was about the tramp.
Wasn't Dillinger's Dead?
No.
No, it was just boring. And terrible.
What was the name of that one, though? That's going to bother me. It was the last of the Tramp films.
So, Shirley.
Yes.
What'd you think of the cast?
The cast? I don't know. I like the whole movie in general. I don't know any of the actors or actresses of the time, so...
So you don't think... Have you seen Harold Lloyd in anything else?
Not to my knowledge. Okay. No.
Has he done it?
I tried envisioning Charlie Chaplin in that role, but the thing is, the intricacies of the role for Safety Last, it just didn't seem like it would fit Charlie Chaplin's personality. Okay. So I think Harold Lloyd did a very, very good job in this. He brought a comedy and hilarity to the role that I don't think could have been imparted by Charlie Chaplin. Okay. I think they have different comedic ways that they show themselves on screen.
Absolutely. What did you think, Jesse, of the
Modern Times?
Modern Times. That's right. What did you think of the cast?
I'm not a Lloyd fan. I hate to say it. I don't know if it was him or if it was just the way the film was done. I've watched a lot of silent films and I've seen a couple of his. And the music always seems to be a little off.
Okay.
And that's a major part of the silent film for me.
What did you think of his physical comedy acting, though?
It was pretty spot on. It did work for the film.
Okay. Johnny?
It was okay. I'm not a big fan. I've expressed my issues with foreign and silent films on previous episodes.
So the entirety of the Criterion Collection. Nearly.
Nearly, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not someone who can sit at home and stare at a TV and not do something else, unless the movie is super compelling. And, the silent film just, he was funny. I mean, there was some great slapstick of him trying to get to work on time and failing. There was some great stuff in that, but it wasn't enough to hold my attention.
Okay. All right. What did you guys think about the, I guess, script? This is a good way to put this. Because clearly there's a script here, but there's not a lot of dialogue in that.
Yeah. I had mixed feelings about the script. You know, some of the scenes were explained perfectly. Some of the scenes I felt like there was too long of a script for the scene. And then some of them, I felt like they were talking and I waited for, you know, the balloon to come up or the script to come up and it didn't. And I was like, okay, I can take away from this scene whatever I imagine I should take away from it.
Okay. Justin?
I thought it was all right. It followed the main laws that I tend to look for in silent films.
Okay.
And that's if they would just talk to each other, everything could be avoided.
Well, that's still a common trope.
It is.
Yeah.
Shakespeare is like that.
90% of silent films are the whole, if they just, yeah.
Okay. John, what did you think of that script?
The story itself, as an overall plot, was just fine. You know, like I said, the time, 1926 is a far, far cry from 2014. So my movie sensibilities don't really mesh with it. But like, if somebody put that up as a rom-com, you know, and with modern aesthetics, I would probably think that it was an okay movie.
So who plays Harold Lloyd's character in that rom-com now? I'm just curious. Like, let's get some thoughts. I don't care.
A decade ago,
today.
I'm saying right now, I don't know who I would pick. Okay. But like a decade ago, any of the guys from the American Pie group, what's his name on How I Met Your Mother? Not the guy who is the main character, but the other one.
Siegel.
Siegel. He would have been okay if he could do the slapstick.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
what do you, any thoughts there?
I agree. I would personally prefer the guy from The Office. I can't remember what his name is, but in a lot of movies.
Character?
The head guy.
Steve Carell, the boss?
Steve Carell. I can see him as the main guy, and as the boss would be Will Ferrell.
Steve Carell's getting a little old for me to see in that young
role. Well, because he's supposed to be just making his way out. That's why I was like, take any of the American Pie guys back a decade, and it would have been fine.
Who's the guy from 22 Jump Street?
Jonah Hill Channing Tatum?
Channing Tatum. I could believe him climbing the building, if need be.
Okay. I think you need somebody less athletic. I really do. I think to
Jonah
get that.
Hill?
I don't know. Most of the comedies, I don't know, is American Pie series comedic?
Yeah. Have you not seen it? Yes.
No, because I just don't find any of those type of movies entertaining, so I haven't really watched any of them. I'm trying to think of some comedies that I've watched that I think are really good.
We watched Saving Sarah Marshall, or Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
That was okay.
But the main character from that, though?
It was Jason Segel.
Yeah.
He was not in the American Pie series. That's
no,
what
he
was saying.
And
I was just saying.
And the thing is, he is way too tall.
Yeah, he's a tall fellow.
Well, the physical comedy in Safety Last would be the big impediment. Like, you'd have to.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't have stars nowadays who do their own stunts, you know.
Yeah, not usually.
I'm trying to think of somebody from the 80s that was really, really hilariously funny. Martin Short, maybe.
Martin Short would have been
good. Michael J. Fox could have been. I think he could have done this.
Yeah.
He did some physical comedy in the Back to the Future stuff.
Yeah,
he did, but
it wasn't heavy and over the top. But that's a product of silent film.
He wasn't goofy, stretchy, cartoony. Whereas I think, I mean, he's a fine actor.
Pauly Shore.
Pauly Shore.
I would be wanting to watch.
Actually,
that.
No. I could totally
Jim
see
would
this.
Be
Jim Carrey would have been good again. Back when he was first breaking out, and
not 50.
Yeah, yes. And Pauly Shore back when what was that movie where he was in college and he went to he went home with a friend for Thanksgiving.
Son-in-law. Because he got married?
Yeah.
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 That era of Pauly Shore, spot on.
I don't know if there's another era of Pauly Shore, is there? Honestly, I think that's the beginning and end of it, because he had that, like, Encino Man and...
Jury Duty.
His latest one was Spider Shore's Dead. It was a disappointing ending, but...
I can kind of almost see Brendan Fraser.
Yeah, again, younger than he is
today. Yeah, in the Encino Man era, Brendan Fraser.
Yeah, before he started making bad movies.
Well, before he hit The Mummy. I mean, because The Mummy, I would say, is really good, but by the time he hit that, he became an action star.
But he still had some funny, like... quips in those movies.
But that would be my problem with Channing Tatum, is see him as Magic Mike and what's his face from G.I. Joe. I forget his character
name.
Duke. And that's not Harold Lloyd, but
yeah, see, when I think of Channing Tatum, I think either G.I. Joe or The Vow.
I didn't see The Vow. Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Yeah, although technically he's getting along in years.
He is too. I think he could do it if he was.
I disagree. Third Rock from the Sun, he was hilarious.
It could be funny, but is it physical comedy or mental comedy? It's more mental. Which is not to say you couldn't change this a little
bit. When I saw Third Rock from the Sun, I felt like he was more along the lines of early Keanu Reeves, like
Keanu Reeves.
Speaking of that, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure is on Netflix.
It is. Yeah, I saw that. We watched Bogus Journey after we saw the Swedish film.
Yeah, the black and white one with death.
Yeah, with death. What was the name of that?
Seven Seal.
Yeah, because we watched that right after that.
I knew the reference.
The references, which were really solid and really well done. Yeah. Surprisingly well done for a dumb comedy.
Bringing it back
around.
The
whole film's done that way, though. Yeah. I mean, if you look at it in the right corners.
Bringing it back around to safety.
Oh, yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Right? We can talk about the Futurama reference. They introduced Zoidberg's uncle, whose name was Harold Zoid.
Yeah.
And he was supposed to be Harold Lloyd.
Oh,
really?
You never saw this?
If I did, it was one episode.
Yeah. I briefly remember seeing that episode and him just complaining about how it used to be.
Yeah.
So.
But they did, they had it, apparently there was a time frame in Futurama where they did silent 3D movies. So it was a holographic projection in the center of the table where you saw everything in the round, but then silent movie cards would come up and give you the dialogue, and it's pretty funny.
I need to see that episode.
He tries to make a comeback in the talkies, so it's kind of the same. I think it's more a spoof on the whole film from silent films to talkies that they were spoofing. But they chose Harold Lloyd to be the character that they spoofed instead of, like, Charlie Chaplin or whatever.
Yeah.
But it was good.
So, Jesse, you didn't care for the score? You felt it was off?
I did. Okay. I didn't feel it fit it very well.
Okay. What'd you got, Shirley? John?
To tell you the truth, I don't even remember music.
I remember the music.
I mean, I remember the running around, but it didn't stick out. That's part of the problem.
The music should be a major part of the silent film. Yeah.
So it shouldn't be forgettable.
Exactly.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah. I guess in this instance, that has to be the case.
I heard it. I didn't have a problem with it when I watched it, so I'd probably have to go back and listen with a more critical ear, because it was fine to me, but. You're more into the silent films anyway, so.
Yeah. What did you guys feel about the stunts? Because I don't know if he was that high up on the building, but
he wasn't,
man, it felt like it.
Yeah, he wasn't, but it was good stuff. I mean, like I said, the solid slapstick comedy routines going on in this film that are definitely worth checking out, if not dissecting, like we're supposed to do for this podcast.
Is it a silent film thing or just a rom com thing where they expect you to think that the person that the main character is trying to put one over on, like the girl in this one, he's trying to convince her that he is in fact the general manager. Is that expecting her to be so dumb not to pick up on it? Is that just a standard in romantic comedies, or is that a silent film thing, or what?
It's a bit both, but most of the good silent films are rom coms.
Okay,
I mean it's hard to separate the two of them.
Really? Okay. Well, I mean, you've seen more than I have. I've seen two now. So
I would say it's a natural evolution of storytelling.
Okay.
The comedies were a lot easier to get across over the drama. So,
this is true.
Yeah, I mean, I also wonder if it's more about the writer, because, you know, whoever wrote the story, you know, he made her dumb. There could be, in modern times, the girl wasn't an idiot. You know, she...
It's true.
Yeah.
So...
It just seemed like, especially when they were in the office and they accidentally buzzed everybody, and then everybody shows up and he just pretends to be one of them. Like, how did she not pick up on that at that moment that, you know?
Yeah. But, you know, it also, in the 1920s, the opinions of women were not,
It's true.
Right, and you're comparing two totally different roles. You're comparing someone that was still with her mother and still cared for her against a street rat.
Right. Well, that's true. I guess she could have just been naive.
Yeah.
Because she was raised in Great Bend.
Yes.
Well, it said Great Bend, and when I first saw it, I read it as South Bend. I was like, is this going to be set in Indy? Like, is Indianapolis the big city?
Yeah. No.
So,
But it could have been. Like, as the film toured the country, I'm sure that was something people really enjoyed about it.
Yeah.
Was that, you know, it could be their town, other than, you know, the specific scenery.
That's true.
It could totally be their state, their area.
I did enjoy the attempt to get back to work on time.
Mm-hmm.
Only because, like, he got the ticket, he handed it to the guy, and then just, like, tipped his hat and got out of the car.
Yeah.
And a couple other ones like that. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I felt like the whole thing flowed decently well until they got onto the building, and then it slowed a lot.
I think they were trying to, and I mean, I felt it a little bit, but that, you know, that stressful anticipation of, oh my God, is he going to fall? And I think that that's what they were trying to attempt to accomplish with those scenes.
Yeah, and I can see that. It just seemed really long.
And the thing is, I knew, like, when he started climbing the building, that he was going to be the person all the way going to the top.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you just knew.
Even when he started talking about it, it about had to be him, because that's the movie.
Yeah. I don't know. What else do you guys think? Anything else stick out to you? Nothing?
No, not really.
Sorry. No.
So, I mean, it was really fun. I liked it. I would watch it again.
Okay.
Yeah, that's how much fun I had.
So, why is this on the Criterion? Did you guys see anything specific?
I just figured because it was a Lloyd film, and a Lloyd film needs to be on collection.
Do you feel that way?
I do.
Personally?
Yeah, okay. Even though I don't like him as much as I like others at the time, he's definitely one of the big ones.
Would it have anything to do with the stunt work?
I don't know.
Does it not say?
I gotta look that up.
Oh. First.
So...
You cover what you thought about it?
The actors were okay. I agree with Jesse. I don't think the music stood out enough. If it's supposed to be about that music because it's a silent film, then yeah, that's kind of a big deal.
Well, I think it's a media problem. The fact that you had moving pictures on a screen was a huge deal.
Okay,
For us, we can flip on the TV and see, you know, 100 different channels of things and get on the internet and see whatever we want to see. And for back in 1922, 23, this was something that you had to make a special event out of, going to the movies and seeing something like this. So I don't know how important the music was to the film designers and the people who put the presentation together.
I don't know if I agree with this or not. I looked up why Safety Glass was on the Criterion Collection, and it states it's one of his best-known films, and that's a good enough reason for me. But it also states that it was, it's the template for contemporary action movies.
There was a lot more action in it than there was in modern times. It seemed like it just perpetually kept going and kept going and kept going and kept going.
I mean,
and kept going.
That the getting to work scene could be, you could draw real parallels to the Jackie Chan movie with Chris Tucker that is escaping my mind right now.
After Rush Hour.
All I wanted to do was scream. Do you understand the voice coming out of my mouth?
Right, but that scene where Jackie Chan is trying to get away from Chris Tucker mm-hmm. and get to the embassy or wherever it was he was going. Totally, you know, like you can. That's a modernization of what they did in Safety Last.
Yeah, and then the what is it? Not a trolley. It's not called a trolley car.
Yeah, trolley car. Okay. That's a word for it. Streetcars.
The streetcars.
Yeah.
That whole thing seemed like it was very action-based because it had, you know, and the ambulance.
Yeah.
It was a very forward motion. They were zooming through the streets. Uh-huh.
But there was a lot of comedy intermingled in that, which is probably why you would say the action doesn't really work for you.
Yeah,
the action tag doesn't work.
Yeah, and I could see it being one of the first. It also mentioned in there about the clock scene with him dangling from the clock. Yeah. That is something they use over and over again throughout the film.
Yeah.
That's true. This is one of two Harold Lloyd movies that are on the Criterion Collection, this and The Freshman. And so this is what it says is it considers it a good introduction to Harold Lloyd, which I can get behind. I've never seen him before, so I can see that. But they also... it was because of the stunts, which I can see that too, because the swinging on the rope and the breaking crazy. Of the flagpole and then the clock. Those were three big ones.
Very suspenseful.
Yeah. So, I mean, I can see that and I can get behind that. And I didn't have a problem with the film.
I think I even gasped, when the whole clock thing. I knew that something was going to happen with the clock, but I didn't realize it was going to, the face was going to fall out of it and he was going to look like he's going to tumble to his death.
I also think modern movies have made me very cynical towards a movie like this, because when he was on the very top and he was about to sneak, climb over, four times, I was like, he's going to get in the head. I even said it. Mm-hmm. He's going to knock, 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 knock. It's just going to crack him in the head. I knew it. And then it did. And then I saw that whole thing coming and him falling, and it was just a matter of time before it all freaking happened. Yeah,
but in fairness, it was the first one to do that.
So that's true. I guess this is true. I mean, we're looking at
you can't be cynical toward this one. It has to be the rest of them.
I can be cynical towards this one. I am a little cynical towards this one, but to put it in concept or to perspective, I shouldn't be. This is where it started, so we should look at it that way.
Birth of the trope.
Yeah, yeah. Birth of the trope.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sick of the trope. So
I don't mind if the trope is handled well. This one went a little long for what I would consider handled well. But again, it's the birth of the trope. If any of them are going to go long, it should be the first one. So they can see how to fix that. So.
Yeah. Because do you know how long it takes to have a baby? It takes a long time.
24 hours, and then after that, they shorten it.
Yeah, exactly. Your second child is not near as long as your first.
Which, yeah, never mind. Move on. Shirley, give it some star rating. What do you think?
We're out of five, right?
Yep.
So half is 2.5.
No, three is actually average.
Three. Mm-hmm. Well, I meant half is 2.5. Okay, so I'll give it a three.
Okay. John?
2.5. Not bad, just not entertaining enough.
If it were a 1930 not silent film?
Shot in Stagecoach quality, sure. Probably. I'd probably be all about it.
Okay. Some of that comes from the fact that it's just a silent film. And that's okay.
And
it's not your favorite.
I would watch the remake. I would. And even if it was set in 1920s, done black and white, but I was able to
not glue
my eyes to the screen. Well, I mean, if I go to a movie theater, I watch a movie, because that's what I'm going into a dark room. And there's only one thing to look at.
Because you didn't just pay $10 to go draw, right?
Yeah. So, if I was in that environment, I would probably enjoy this movie more rather than sitting on the couch at home.
Okay. What about you?
Well, I thought I was going to be harsh, but apparently not. 3.5.
Okay.
It's a good film. I would definitely not suggest this as a person's first silent film in any means.
Oh, no, I've got to go with Modern Times for that. That's fantastic.
I'd really go with others of his, but yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Gold Rush is definitely my favorite. But anyway, though, it's a good film. It's good for what it does. You need to see it if you like this kind of film. But if you don't, there's no real reason to watch it.
I'll give it a 3. I don't think it's a bad film. I don't think it's... can see why it's important, but I don't think it's a great film either. So, I give it a 3, a solid 3 in the middle. Our next movie on the Criterion Collection will be Hidden Fortress, one that we have had on the list since day one. So, Hidden Fortress, I'm pretty sure, is a samurai movie. I gave it some time between samurai movies. Uh-huh. I'm pretty sure it is. I could be wrong. I don't remember what it said now that
I've been for a little longer, and I'll have IMDb pull it up.
So, if you guys...
Yeah, definitely Japanese.
Oh, well, then it's definitely a samurai movie. We've learned... If we've learned anything, if it comes from Japan, it has samurai in it. Right?
Yes.
Yeah,
but it's a Kurosawa. It has
samurai. Oh, it's a Kurosawa movie?
Yeah,
oh,
directed nice. By...
Yep. This will be our third Kurosawa movie.
And it's
Kashimon in this. Or, and Seven Samurai.
It's pretty amazing.
He has, like...
this guy...
He has at least 25 movies on the Criterion Collection. Which
great
is
creative,
a lot.
Starring Toshiro Mifune, the...
oh, yeah.
I was about to say, I know
brash,
this is...
The brash samurai from Seven Samurai.
So this will be, like,
fake
his
samurai.
Fourth
yeah,
movie
yeah,
this?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, he's getting up there.
Yeah.
Awesome. Right on.
So he is the Kurosawa, as Johnny Depp is to
yeah, Tim probably. Burton.
Yeah,
probably.
Totally.
Yeah.
So, as always, you guys can find us on Facebook and Twitter, but why don't you head over to our website, where you can get on the right-hand side and sign up for our newsletter. Our newsletter will tell you all about the fun, interesting stuff that we're doing, and keep you updated on anything and everything that's going on with us. And you can find our shirts over at Slash Loot, and you should definitely check out our Patreon page at patreon.com/nerdsdomain. And we will talk to you guys real soon.
This has been a production of the Omega Nerds Network, the network where it's on.